Hello and welcome to the Seven Figure Agency Podcast, where we're interviewing highly successful digital marketing agencies from across the country. And today I am super excited to have April Edwards with us from Deck Marketers, Deck Builder Marketers, a longtime member of the Seven Figure Agency. Amazing individual. I can't wait to have her share her story with you today. So if you're excited, hit the like button, drop a comment, type April in the chat. And April, thank you so much for being here.
You know I'm pumped to be here. I'll do anything you want me to. I owe you guys so much. You're incredible, and we're going to have a good time today.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. So I guess to kick us off, you know, you've got the agency now running seven figures, which is amazing. But tell us a little bit about kind of the story, how you got into the digital marketing game, and kind of how you get your feet wet in starting your own agency.
So whenever I start telling the story, that's when my age comes to life. And let's just say, like, it takes experience. There are some people in Seven Figure Agency that have grown really quickly. But there's others like me that have been in the space for a while. And it kind of took me a while to really figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up. So I went to art school. I was all set to be a starving artist. I just wanted to be creative and make things. And I went to college in 99 during the internet boom and started to learn how to code websites. And I ended up doing flashy animation. So if you know what that is, it's basically when I would make things look interactive on a website. My first job out of school, I worked for a division of American Greetings Interactive and developed some of the first emoticons and avatars for the MSN Messenger platform.
Oh, wow.
It was pretty cool, but it was a contract position. So after my contract was up, I had to go and find another job. Since then, I've worked at in-house. I've been an in-house designer, package designer, but I always ended up focusing on the digital side because I knew how to code and do interactive stuff and create experiences. And so I just kind of gradually developed my skill set by having to fake it till I make it and just be put in a position where people are like, oh, we believe in you. You could do this. And I'm like, sure, I'll do it. And so I learned email marketing and SEO. And I started my own agency after working in San Diego as a contractor with different agencies. And after a while, I just realized, hey, there's no more security working for someone else. I might as well just do this on my own. And I always did freelance. So I just kind of put my big girl pants on and took it a little bit more seriously and started my own agency and still more focused on the creative side. We were developing websites and still doing email marketing. That was always kind of my core marketing skill set. And then after a while of doing that, I realized, you know, like I'm birthing these babies. You know, with these websites, I'm creating these amazing marketing hubs and I'm putting like my blood, sweat and tears into it. But then they're just sitting there doing nothing. And so I hated that. Like I wanted to be able to make a bigger impact. And so that's when I was like, OK, we really need to go full-fledged into this marketing thing because it's not build it and they will come. And I wanted to make sure that, you know, my clients were set up on a good foundation, but also that the work I was doing wasn't just subjective in terms of design, but actually making a real impact. And so that's where really the marketing journey started with the company has been named, what was it? AE Graphic Design, then it was AE Design Co. Now we're actually, we are relaunching that brand right now. And we're going to apply everything that you've taught us with niching down to that agency.
Okay.
But after a while with AE Design Co, we were doing everything for everyone. You know, and the way I like to explain it to our deck builders is that we were kind of the general construction company of marketing agencies, literally doing like indoor renovations, outdoor renovations, roofing windows, all that stuff, because we had such a variety of clients. And I loved it. It was great. We sold digital strategy blueprints, and it was kind of like, you know, the plan, the blueprint for your marketing. Mm-hmm. And I love that strategy of being able to like problem solve and be like, okay, this is your audience. This is what you're trying to do. These are your goals and like reverse engineer a plan. But it just wasn't scalable, Josh, you know, it wasn't scalable. And then I got to a place where I was like, I feel like I need to figure out what I'm going to do when I grow up again, you know, now that I've reached this new phase and I have kids. You know, everything kind of changes. I joined a few different coaching groups over the years, and then I found out about you. And that's where everything changed. So that's the backstory.
Love it. So yeah, kind of like cut your teeth in actually learning how to do designs, and that shines through in everything you do. And then you started the design company, kind of hit the wall of like, wow, project work isn't sustainable. You know, it's not getting me where I want to go. Talk to us about the decision to niche down, why you chose deck builders, and kind of like that whole decision process.
Yeah. One of my last coaches is somebody that you know, and great system, all about systematizing and, you know, productizing your offering and like serving one to one and one to many in this whole principle. And it was fabulous, but I could not make it work because I wasn't niched down. And if I would have been niched down, that whole thing would have worked. And so I just was still feeling lost. And I'm like, I'm on this journey and like, I really want it, but I can't figure it out. And so then, you know, of course I read your book, which I'm sure everybody says, and by the way, I got a book too, because of you guys. You know, and then that's when I started to really look at the type of clients that I enjoyed working with the most and those that I had the most success with. And that's when I decided to go all in with deck builders. And, you know, it was scary. I mean, it's not like I had worked in the industry before. I literally had one client that seriously we were able to scale their business so successfully with what I ended up building without even realizing it, which is the deck builder marketing system that we use today. So I'm really fortunate though. I think some people decide to niche down and they kind of have to try a couple angles, you know, a couple different niches before they find what they really like. And, I love my guys. I absolutely love, love this space. They're all really good people. And that was another big change for me in my business where I really need to focus on what drove me, because I never wanted to like make a ton of money. I wanted to go to art school and be a starving artist. You know what I mean? And I had to do some soul searching to really figure out why did God put this, like this business in my hands, because it was never something that I thought was going to be me. And I struggled with that. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I'm just in this space where I'm like trying to make other people money, you know, like what's so exciting about that? But then I finally got to the conclusion that I have such an amazing opportunity to be a leader in a way that I can make a really big impact in people's lives. And so having the background that I have, as do most of us, where you know what it's like to struggle. I mean, I had a baby. I was rocking in the chair. You know, my toddler was in my lap and I was trying to spend time with my friends in Phoenix that I hadn't seen forever. And I was working the whole time, you know, because if your revenue is dependent on your availability, you've just created a job for yourself. And that's what a lot of these deck builders have done too. And so it's interesting because we're in a different space, but our stories are really similar. So anyway, our mission is to build potential impact lives and just, you know, make a difference. And we get to do that by helping these business owners first get clarity and like feed their business through marketing. And then that all trickles down, you know, then they're able to build up a team so that they could spend more time with their families and, you know, and then build up a team that shares the same culture and mindset and their families are impacted. They get to build beautiful outdoor living spaces and improve those homeowners' lives. And we're kind of the matchmaker. It's kind of cool, you know?
Love that. Love your passion for the industry and really not just making money, but really helping them accomplish more in their lives and kind of how it parodies how you've tried to do that in your own life and business. So like approximately what was the revenue in the business, you know, when you were AE Designs, you know, and kind of where did you kind of hit the plateau with that side?
I think we were about eight. We at the time, I would say 18 to 20,000 MRR, but it really wasn't MRR. We were hourly based, and it was kind of like, okay, this is the average of what we bring in. We didn't have contracts. We just had really great lasting partnerships and clients that have been with us for a really long time. You know, so I knew there was some value there. I just hadn't figured out the magic formula.
Got it. So about 18 to 20 any given month, project work, you know, but pretty steady, right? You knew you could rely on it, but it was all you doing the work. Decided to make the transition to focusing on deck builders and really building the growth system for that industry. Mm-hmm. What's the approximate client base, recurring revenue, if you're comfortable? If you're not comfortable, you don't have to say any exact number.
At the time when I was making the transition?
At this point, like where we are today.
Well, and this is part of the story and the vulnerability in this podcast that I want to share is that when you asked me to be on this podcast, I was at 112 MRR and now we're at 102.
Okay.
And there's a story there and I think it's important.
Yeah. Well, I mean, either way, obviously there's a story there. It's a little bit of a decline in terms of top line revenue, but a massive transition right now. Now you've got this thriving business. How did going niche help you get that level of accelerated growth? And how were you able to structure the team, which I think it sounds like is a big piece of what you were trying to accomplish, so you don't have to do it all yourself?
Yeah, yeah. And that's hard too, you know, because we're kind of, as entrepreneurs, we're unicorns is what I like to say. And it's really hard to let go. And like, it's taken me a bit to realize that my biggest strength is coaching. Is coaching my team. But anyway, I'm sorry, your question, I went down a tangent.
I guess the question was, how were you able to, like, how did going niche help you accelerate the revenue and kind of create that freedom that you've been looking for?
Yeah. So as you can see, my mind goes in a million different ways. But I would say the biggest is being able to practice what I preach. Mm. So before, how was I going to market my agency? We were working with an international pressure calibration manufacturer, fertility clinic, a paver company, you know, a death metal merchandiser. It was all over the place. How are you supposed to market that? And marketing 101 is, you know, right message, right time, right audience. Yeah. And so I would say that's the biggest, is that I was able to practice what I preach and market to a particular audience and go all in too. Josh has asked me to speak at the next intensive and talk about the power of, you know, joining an association and leveraging those relationships. And that's been a really big thing. So now that I'm super focused, not only do I provide one type of service to one audience, but even at this point, we've got plans, like we really want to be their growth partner. And so we're making, you know, tweaks and adding to what we're doing to help them in more ways than just lead generation.
Yeah. Love it. You know, amazing, amazing transition there. Can you talk to us a little bit? And I do want to get back to that teaser on the revenue drop and the story behind it, but talk to us a little bit about what the program looks like. So you go into a deck builder and like, what are the deliverables in a typical scenario?
Yeah. So our core offering is SEO. And the way I like to explain it to people is that, not that your audience doesn't know, but SEO is the matchmaker between the brand and Google. And so we focus a lot on that so that they have compounded results over time. And that's really the core of everything that we do. Then we add on from there with, you know, Google ads and Facebook ads and email marketing and, you know, other things. But just to keep it simple, I'd say that.
Perfect. So it's kind of a mix of all of the revenue drivers. Can you talk a little bit about how you package it and kind of what the pricing is?
Yeah. We are in the middle of transitioning it because one thing that we have, I would say the hardest part in owning an agency and working in this space is setting really clear expectations. And this isn't a magic bullet. Like we're really trying to build their brand in the long run. And so we're moving our system from talking about it in programs, three different programs, to talking about it as phases in your growth. So our first phase is foundation, and it's pretty much SEO only, you know, website, reputation management, like lead management system, that type of stuff. $1,500 a month. That is completely going to change because at this point in the game, we need to be doing more in order to get these guys better results. So our pricing is going to go up, but we're going to be adding in so much value. The second phase is growth, and that's everything in foundation with Google Ads. The price for that is $3,500, and we recommend a minimum ad spend at $1,500, and then we'll throttle that up based off of your goals. And then the third program is Dominate, and that's when, like, we're all in on omnipresence. We're doing all the things, all the digital marketing, SEO, Google Ads, Facebook Ads, lead magnets with funnels, email marketing, quadruple the amount of content in order to really move the needle from an SEO perspective. A lot of these type of clients will have multiple locations. And so we'll have a $595 add-on for managing that additional Google business listing to try and get them to rank a little bit higher in those different areas. We also have a $4,500 setup fee, which can sound a lot for different agencies. A lot of agencies don't have that, or it's a lot smaller, or they just have like a different month one fee. But we do so much in what I call our deck builder marketing system setup. We are getting everything set up in their name, you know, all of their tracking stuff, their lead management system. We're analyzing their offline presence and their online presence and helping them make things very cohesive. We're getting all their templates set up for social media, email marketing, their campaigns, really helping them get us what we need to, because there is some work that our clients have to do in the beginning, which the most valuable thing they can do is just provide us images of their projects and really explain what they did with that project, help us understand the materials, the price range, and things like that, so that we could build amazing, essentially, case studies for them. So there's just a lot that goes into that. And of course, I forgot to say the most important, which is the marketing hub, which is the website. So we go all in on the website. We have broken it down into two phases so that we can get like the stuff that Google wants to see up quickly, because that is the most important thing. Like, you have got to be fast to execute, because it takes a while for all of this to start ramping up, for Google to go through its learning phase, and for you to get traction. That, like, the longer you delay, the longer it's going to take. So yeah, anyway, to answer your question, we do a lot in the setup, and we've got a larger fee, but I think the value is amazing. We should probably be saying that it's a $10,000 value, and if you itemized all these things, it would cost you so much money. But yeah, we'll be raising our rates and kind of tweaking some things in the program. We're offering coaching now, just included in our programs. We do a biweekly coaching call with all of our clients, and we have a topic. And then it's just like an open mastermind. And it's so cool because I learn so much in those calls. We learn ways to improve what we're doing. And then it's so cool to see the deck builder support one another and jam out on things that, you know, maybe are outside of the scope of digital marketing. But it's really cool to be that conduit, you know, to bring people together in that way. Awesome. And we also, I keep saying we're releasing it soon. I have to check with my team to see when we're going to get the final tweaks together. But it's our client success hub, and it's packed full of tips and resources, so that they can kind of understand this digital marketing thing a little bit, you know, in case they're like, wait, what is conversion rate? But more so giving them the support in order to, you know, help them in ways that are outside of our control, things that they can be doing. Because this really is a partnership, you know, we're building the system and we're kind of running it. But there are other things that they can be doing offline and more traditional type of marketing that are all going to work together to build something really beautiful. So we're just trying to jam in the value.
So good. Great explanation, kind of what the program package looks like. Sounds like it's a range between $2,000 and $10,000 a month, depending upon how large they are and what they've got going on. And it's not itemized services. It's how can we accelerate your growth, and where are you at in your business right now? What do you need, and plugging the right program in? One of the main questions we get from listeners on this particular show is, all right, you've chosen the niche. You've decided what you're going to sell. How did you get the first 5 clients? Can I get to that initial level of critical mass? What was your approach?
Cold outreach.
Fred.
Yeah, well, cold outreach and Facebook ads. So a combination of all of that and just really getting, I mean, I would say the initial clients are kind of the beta phase. You know what I mean? Like you're really, the first year I was just trying to understand my audience, you know, and like asking questions and getting on as many strategy sessions as I could. And then the biggest was joining the agency or the association. Mm-hmm. And, I didn't even go to that I wasn't, my intention was not to have a booth or anything like that. Like I literally just wanted to go and learn and meet people and better understand them. And so, yeah, that's kind of how it happened, I guess.
So you already had some experience in the deck space. You already had a client or two that you kind of, that's why you decided, hey, let's go down this path. It was cold. So like literally cold emails, cold DMs, like talk to us a little bit about what the cold approach was.
Yeah. One thing that I think I forget to really note too, is I think we have a really good strategy, that might not work for a lot of other agencies, but, remember when I said that, there's a lot about our businesses that are the same. And one of the biggest things is that they sell a high price tag luxury service.
Yeah.
Mine is not a luxury. It's like, don't shoot yourself in the foot by like not doing marketing because it feeds the whole business, but it can feel very expensive for people, which I want to challenge anybody here, like have the conversation about return on investment and how, you know, the results compound and how important it is to keep at it even when people are backing down. I talk about this stuff so much because I have to get my guys in the right mindset to understand how this is a crucial component of their business. But I digressed again.
Which was like, well, what's the cold outreach approach that she used?
Social media. So because they have really beautiful projects that they do, a lot of things, their projects on social media. And so I like their projects and like, you know, do comments. I spent, again, the first year was me really trying to understand my audience. And so, you know, even though I'm not crazy about social media, it's like, I have to be on there. I have to see what people are doing. And so I would just scroll every morning. I actually like made it a task of spending at least 15 minutes and, you know, following people and scrolling and seeing what they're doing and seeing what they're posting and just getting the brand out there by like liking their stuff and commenting on it. And I think that those are a lot of the like kind of mundane things that you need to do in the beginning to build up your audience that actually make a pretty big impact. And we still do it to this day.
Love it. So was that as April Edwards or was that as Deck Builder Marketers page? Like,
yep. Deck Builder Marketers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. As the page going, you're following these deck building companies, liking their projects, saying, oh, that's really nice. I really like it. Mm-hmm. Did you then try and connect and slide into the DMs or? Like, how did you get their attention, you know, after those initial communication points?
Well, I do have to say that I think probably after I went to trade show, I started to try and build up my own personal brand as well. So then I would try at that point to connect on a personal level through my own stuff and start conversations. And, you know, we tested all kinds of things like with the cold email outreach. Hey, can you handle 3 more deck projects? But I've usually been just like, hey, like, how's business doing? Just want to let you know, like, we're here, you know, just kind of planting a seed. And now we're just trying to get people on our list, you know, like this book is so invaluable and just giving it to as many people as we can and just getting people to kind of consume the content. Because we need them to. It's just like I tell our deck builders, if somebody doesn't go to your website and they don't read the stuff and they don't do the research, they're not really primed. They don't get it yet. You know, they don't understand things in a way where you can just help them solve their problem. It's more about like proving that they need it. And who wants that, right? So at this point, you know, we did all of the cold stuff. And we did, you know, like in the beginning, you have more time than money. Right. And so now, a little bit more money to invest and able to be more omnipresent and focus on all of these things to bring in really high quality leads. And so we've got a lot of just inbound leads that come from all of these, you know, events and association things that we're in. I'm a regular columnist for the Deck Specialist magazine, and people read it and they, you know, and they find out about us. So
good. So it sounds like it was initially got a list, started reaching out, started planting some seeds, got our handful of clients, major emphasis on getting results for those clients, right? So if you're listening, you're like, how do I get my expertise? She spent a lot of time on one-to-ones with prospects, understanding the business, and she really was trying to figure out what do I need to do to get a great result, right? And I think that underlies entering any niche, you know, don't just try and sell it, right? You got to really understand it. You got to be able to deliver world-class results. And then once you did that, it sounds like you transitioned to positioning yourself as the expert, right? Being at the industry events, publishing that book. What other things did you say are part of your core mix that are attracting clients today?
Yeah, I also want to say, again, like year one was beta mode, right? Like it was really testing different things out. And so we did have different, we've had two other programs that we've canceled since. And at first we tried to do an advertising only, but it was too high of an entry point for these guys. Yes, they could get quicker results, but I just kind of didn't feel good about it either, because I'm like, once you turn the faucet off, it's over. And then we tried a smaller SEO program just to kind of get these guys in the door and get them some traction. And it was successful for like 60% of the guys. I mean, some of them so successful, like part of that smaller program was they were required to move up to the next program. And a couple of them, well, one in particular I could think of, like he was so successful on it that it didn't really even make sense for him to move up. But his growth goals have changed since then, now that he can see the opportunity. But yeah, omnipresent. So podcasts, the book. We've got the Facebook group. We're ramping that up. We're doing monthly coaching in that. We have all of the, you know, we leverage our database with long-term nurture sequence. We've got a ton of lead magnets out there. We leverage those in our Facebook ads. And trying to build up a retargeting audience where we then go in for, you know, the ask for a free consultation. We were doing a lot of content creation last year, and our traffic is definitely excelled because of that. I think we're at about 2,500 visits a month, which is pretty impressive when you consider there's like maybe 4,500 deck builders out there. Cool. And what else? So anyway, this year we're transitioning more to video content, and then distributing that versus the blog content. And again, just being really helpful. I mean, that's what it's all about. I love all the coaching calls. I love it.
And you're getting value, and you're kind of learning at the same time. Learning the problems that you can help them solve.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been
so
great.
So if you had to point to like one key strategy, like that most of your new clients come from, what would be the most predominant source?
It's the combination of all of the offline stuff and the partnerships. So I think we get about 44% of our strategy sessions from people that found us through a combination of things, you know, seeing the link on another deck builder's website at the bottom that says that we did it. So an indirect referral, you know. There's another strategy that we use. They call it the NADRA Connect. So NADRA is the North American Deck and Railing Association. It is the association, and they kind of have their own community platform. And so we just introduce ourselves and say, hey, if there's anything you need help with, you know, let us know. So again, more of those like smaller things, but like we're just being helpful. We're saying, hey, we're here, you know. What am I missing? I talked about the Deck Specialist magazine, which has been really great. So yeah, just a big combination of things. Our second is SEO, which is surprising because there's not really that many searches for marketing for deck builders. Like it's almost too niche.
Right.
And I haven't even focused on SEO other than creating really good content. But yeah, I think that's about 30% of our leads.
And yeah, I would say your website, I was looking at it right before the meeting, is awesome. Yeah, deckbuildermarketers.com. If you want to check it out and benchmark, just a really good niche-based, you know, full of great information, but also very directional. Talks about you and the team. Lots of like lead magnets to pop in for. Really, really well done.
Thank you. We're actually doing 2.0 right now.
That's where we're going to be next level, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for, again, just to be helpful. And we've got a lot of great content on there. But I think it's kind of hard to understand like what to digest based off of your phase in business. So we're going to be doing a whole resource center where it'll be really easy for people to kind of figure out what to consume when.
So good. All right. So we've talked about how you get the clients. We've talked about what the program package looks like. Let's talk a little bit about delivery, right? You know, how do like, now we've got 100,000 in monthly recurring revenue. We get all these clients. How do you get it done? What does the team and the operational infrastructure look like?
Yeah, well, at this point, I feel so blessed to say that I have an integrator, somebody you might know, and operations manager. She's kind of transitioning to what we're calling fulfillment director. So she's going to be the one in charge of, you know, obviously all the fulfillment. We're getting ready to hire for middle management, and that's going to be a deal breaker. I mean, that's going to be amazing. It's really going to take us, like, we're really going to get to the next level. We have two pods right now. The pods consist of an account manager, a strategist, a copywriter, and an SEO person. And then we have a handful of developers that kind of work in both pods. And one designer that works in both pods. And then I have a marketing assistant, and she's got a video editor. We just brought on a finance and admin guy. So that was our last thing that was being outsourced to an incredible person, absolutely incredible person. Worked with her for a couple of years. She was really great, but we just needed somebody in-house to really be on those EOS L10 meetings and to have like be able to spot outliers and kind of address things more proactively. Yeah. And then we have, you know, I have for the business and personal, I've got a, you know, a CPA, a financial advisor, and then we also have an HR resource. So she's like the warm and fuzzy kind of business psychology resource. If the team is having a hard time, they can just reach out to her and she'll give them a little business therapy. And then without disclosing any information, give the leadership team some recommendations to, you know, make sure that we're doing a good job for everyone.
So good. So it sounds like a great, great team structure. Is it virtual, in office, a little bit of both?
Yeah, all virtual. We have the leadership team, apart from Alejandro, are all US based. Okay. But honestly, it really doesn't matter. I mean, we like, I would say one thing that I've got to spend more time to give my team props on is our recruitment process. Mm. We've worked with different staffing agencies, but we've actually come to the realization that we're killing it. Like, we've got a really good process. And so because of that, we're able to hire really amazing people in Latin America that they get it, they want it, and they have the capacity. At a better level than what I could find in the US. So yeah, virtual. And I have to say, I'm so proud of our culture. We have such a great culture. We've, you know, I talked in the beginning about how revenue has dropped some, and it's been our toughest, like this last quarter has been our toughest quarter. Nice. We've had some leaks and some embarrassment. And a lot of hard work and really having to solve a lot of problems. Like it's been really exhausting. And I'm just like, hey, let's all recognize this. It's not going to be like this forever. It's happening for a reason. It's going to make us stronger in the end. But we hired 4 new people in the last, in the span of 2 weeks. And we have them meet one-on-one with every team member. Not to really talk business, just to like say, hey, like, what do you like to do? Who are you? That type of thing, you know?
Never.
Yeah. And then we have like a check-in after, you know, the first week and the second week, just to check in and see how they're doing. And I always want to be the last one to meet with them. And the feedback that I've gotten from all of the new people is how impressed they are and how we all work together, which better together is one of our core values.
Love that.
And being able to, you know, like get to the heart of a problem where people aren't like offended, But like, we're all just really, you know, acknowledging what went wrong so that we can move forward productively. And I think that they've all just really recognized how we're able to get through this hard time together, you know? And I think it's because we all care a ton. We just, we spend a long time to find the right people, which is kind of how we ended up in this situation. We were at capacity because it took us, like, we were supposed to get all these people like in February. We didn't get them all until it kind of, you know, it just put us a little behind. But the good news is, like, we've got some freaking killer people on the staff now. You know, it just took a little long to get them, but.
That's awesome. Yeah, having the right people make all the difference. It sounds like you've got a great team, a great recruiting process. Any tips for running a virtual team? Because, you know, a lot of people have tried virtual and they didn't get it figured out. And they're like, oh, it's impossible to run a virtual team and still actually get things done. Like, what are some of your lessons that you've learned over the years in building that virtual team and that virtual culture?
Yeah, I think it's like one, the most difficult thing for me right now is just that our international team are international contractors. And that's a fine line because a contractor means that you can work whenever you want, you know what I mean? And so, but I will say that we, and it's not a requirement, we're flexible, but we, you know, typically most of us work Eastern Standard hours. And so that time, like that, I mean, I'm on the West Coast, so that means I get up, you know, I get up at five every morning. Yeah. But it works because our team is spread out. And that made a really big difference because before that, it was like everyone was just kind of doing their own thing and it just didn't work. We have rolled out EOS into all the departments. So now we have department L10s, and it's such a beautiful thing, you guys. Like, it's like, I don't think, for instance, I don't think my husband could ever like roll this out because it seems a little too foo-foo or something, you know, but it's so cool to like connect with people on a level of like, hey, like before you even do anything, you just check in with them and see what's going on in their life, you know? And so I think like having those check-ins is really important. And we also we all live by our core values. So, actually, my fulfillment director just had my designer create a one sheet that everybody could download and put on their desk to keep the vision, the mission, and the core values and everything in the forefront. One of our core values is woohoo, and that means that we recognize, you know, when there's amazing things to celebrate, and so we're constantly doing that, and everybody in the team does it, and it just really drives us and keeps us together. We are rolling out, we haven't been super consistent with it for it. I think sometimes you just kind of have to test things out and see how it goes. But a monthly, just kind of all hands meeting where we do that too. Like we go around, everybody shares a win, and then we have some sort of topic that we go over, and maybe we'll have a team building thing or like a fun game or something that we'll play. And then the last thing is we do quarterly growth huddles. So we have one coming on Thursday, I believe. Yeah, Thursday. And everybody comes together and each department head just kind of talks about where we were, where we're going. We share wins and headlines and all of those things. And so, yeah, I think that everybody appreciates all those touch points a lot. It's not like having meetings to have meetings. They're actually really valuable for people. And it's really important as you scale too. And I just love that the team can be open about how they're feeling about things. Our last, it was our all hands meeting. Somebody that's been with us for a while on the team said, hey, you know, like this was so great. You know, he said that I really missed that, like, that family feel that we used to have. And I'm like, oh my God, it's so important to me. I don't want to lose that, you know? And if he wouldn't have said anything, like, of course we have things in place, but it's just so important to hear that from the frontline workers, you know what I mean? And so I'm like, yes, we need to make sure that we do this every month.
So good. I think a lot of people, like when you think, oh, I got to scale my team, it's like organizational chart, KPIs, job descriptions. And it sounds like you have all that, but really what you believe is what's making it work is the meeting rhythms, the culture, and it's not just the meeting rhythm of talking about the KPIs and correcting issues. It's about getting to know each other, caring about each other, understanding what their goals are and how that fits into the big picture of the organization, understanding your clients' goals and how that fits into the big picture. And I love that you shared that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the biggest goal is get the whole team together. So at this point, we have a lot of people in Colombia. And so it'd be great if, like, you know, we could all get together. But yeah, one step at a time. So that'll be really nice. And for the significant others to get together too, because they have to make a lot of sacrifices for, you know, people to be able to put so much heart, blood, sweat, and tears into something.
So good. I love it. So we talked about how you land clients. We talked about how you deliver the results, kind of what the team structure looks like. Let's talk about retention. And you were on our retention panel at the last intensive. And I know this is something you're really passionate about. So just like what are some of the key strategies you've put in place to increase the client retention and keep clients with you long term?
Yeah. White glove service. I mean, we are. And that means that we really have to be one step ahead of our clients. So our CX rep, we had one CX rep that was managing up to 40 clients.
Wow.
I mean, could you imagine?
It's a lot. Yeah.
And onboarding people, it was a lot. Now we have account managers. I want to call them growth partners because they're the people that, you know, they're the ones that have to vet for the client and make sure that the work that we're handing off matches their expectations, you know, and their vision and stuff. So just a lot of touch points, and we're always improving it. I'm proud to say that we have one client that has went through the entire process, the way that we've been working at it. Just last week, he went through like all of onboarding. He had his transition meeting from the onboarding specialist to his account manager, and we got a review. And it was the best review. Seriously, it was the best review we've ever gotten. And I'm like, okay, guys, like we needed this. Like we've worked so hard to do
standard. This is the new standard, right?
Yes. Yeah. And it pains me that we come up with these new processes and systems that our old clients didn't get to go through. Mm-hmm. And that pains me because I'm like, oh, you know, we've switched to really having like a presentation for at all of our meetings and trying to have an agenda and be like, hey, if there's anything else you want to talk about, if we have time, we'll get to that. Otherwise, well, you can set up another call. Mm-hmm. And so we really have to drive the bus and set expectations all the time. So I just got done creating it's the DBM Proven Success Journey. And it outlines the three different stages in the system and then what we're looking for, you know? So you're not going to just build a website and then overnight rank number one for keywords. You're going to build visibility, you know? And then like after we've like Google even sees you, then we're trying to build a relationship with Google so that Google trusts you. And then Google starts sending traffic to your site. And then Google starts saying, okay, like it's worth, you know, so we have a whole chart that like a graphic that explains that. And then every time they meet with us, we change it based off of where they are. Yeah. So it was really cool because this client that gave us a really good review, he was pumped when he saw it. He's like, I want to be at Dominate, which is like, you know, Dominate. You're dominating your market. And he's like, we're going to do this. Like, and he can see he's all the way over here, but it takes time. He'll get there. But, you know, so it's really trying to set good expectations. And I'm always challenging my team to not talk marketing lingo, you know, to explain things and don't like data vomit either, you know, like make sure that you are telling the story and explaining how it, what it means and what it's doing for them. And I think that that's the biggest thing. Like I never want our clients to feel intimidated. I don't want to ever talk above them. And you can see in our video testimonials, they really appreciate that. And they say that, you know. To answer your question, a lot of a really stellar onboarding process. We've got a great welcome box with like an expectations guide, kind of, you know. We have a regularly scheduled meeting during onboarding once a week to keep things on track. And then we have monthly check-in calls, and then we have more in-depth quarterly planning calls. We also gift like hell. Like, anything that we could celebrate. Remember, one of our core values is woohoo. So like we're on top of it. Like if it's our client's birthday, if there's anything to celebrate, and if like they have, if they go to the hospital, like whatever it is, we are there to let them know that we really care. This quarter, I'm really excited. One of my rocks is to have to just to visit our clients, to travel and visit our clients.
Okay.
So I'm in the middle of like planning out that rock, but I'll probably go to the East Coast first and just do a little road trip and meet up with some different clients. And I'm really excited about that.
So again, that FaceTime pays dividends, right? It'll also give you lots of insights on how you can better serve those clients who are spending time in their world, in their environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So focus on onboarding, focus on sharing the love by, you know, gifting, and then really being intentional with the check-ins and showing the results that the clients get kind of has some of the secret sauce for your high levels of retention.
Yep. Yep. And then being a voice in the industry too, you know, I mean, that really pulls a lot of weight because I do really care. I mean, I love these guys and it's really cool when you could partner up with other people and really truly help. I'm in the middle of putting together a regional chapter for NADRA in Southern California. And I'm so excited. I just spoke with the president, Pops over at NADRA. And it's going to be amazing. It's going to be really cool. So we're working on that.
Even outside of just serving the clients well, really caring about the industry, getting involved in the industry, not only does that help you attract clients, but it also helps you retain because they know that you're actually entrenched in the industry. You're not just like, you know, saying I work with deck builders and I figure something out, but you really care. You're ever present, and that improves your authority and improves your retention as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I've encouraged my account managers to, you know, when they get done with the call, like just check in, be like, was this helpful? Mm-hmm. How are we feeling? You know, like just be real because we want them to feel good and we want them to, you know, trust us and to feel the value in this. And so just being real, you know, checking in. That's our straight shooter core value.
Love it. I love the core value. Straight shooter. Woohoo. What was the other? I think there was at least one other one that you mentioned.
Better together. Yeah. So straight shooter, woohoo, better together. What am I missing? Guys, master craftsman. Yeah.
Master craftsmanship. I love it. And they're not your like standard integrity, trust, you know, diligence. It's like very like specific to your company. You guys have done a great job with the core values. April, so many great insights. First of all, congratulations on your success. I love seeing you now at seven figures and multiple seven figures right around the corner, I have no doubt. Thanks for coming on and sharing kind of how you've grown the business, how you chose the niche, how you program your packaging. If you had one other piece of wisdom or insight for that agency that's trying to get to the next level, whatever that is for them, what would it be?
Oh, just one piece of advice? I've got like three pieces. I'll start with the first piece. I had to stop consuming content. I was paralyzed by watching what everybody else was doing and feeling like, okay, I have to get to this point where I'm ready to do that. I had to stop it and just smack myself around a little bit and be like, you got this, girl. I mean, sometimes you just got to fake it until you make it, you know?
And I'm honored, just go.
Yeah. And I'm sure like, and I've said it, I was actually telling this to a client. I'm like, if you don't look back 6 months from now and feel embarrassed with what you're doing, you're not growing. You know what I mean? And so just knowing that you're not going to do so well in the beginning, you know, but you got to put one foot in front of the other and do it. And the second, as far as niching down, I would say that, you know, it's a hard one to tackle because if you have a what we call a legacy agency, like I had, where we were doing everything for everyone, we couldn't just like stop doing that, you know, like that's what fed the business. But I think if I would have just went all in, like we were trying to take the model and use it for the legacy agency before we went all in with just deck builders. And even in the beginning, we tested doing marketing for manufacturers and retailers, like anybody in the space. And then we're like, nope, just deck builders. Like you could offer other services like, you know, pavers and stuff like that. But you have to offer decks. Mm-hmm. So just being, again, laser focused, you know, I would say, and also, I got to put the businessman before the business plan. Somebody in my industry, Chris Breen from Legacy Decks Academy, whoop, whoop, he always says that. And it's true. You know, like, how are you going to, like, first of all, you can't lead with fear. So you need to get yourself in check and work on your own self so that it will trickle down to everyone else, you know, and make sure that you're healthy mentally, spiritually, whatever you need physically in order to do this, because it's hard. And once you solve one problem, there's going to be another problem and it's never going to stop. It's not like you're going to reach some point where it's just going to be amazing and perfect. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not there yet.
So good. Take care of the man before you take care of the plants. It's like working on yourself and taking care of your own personal well-being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So good. Love it. April, so many great insights and takeaways. Thank you so much. If our listeners want to connect with you further or learn more about you, what would be the best way?
Yeah. Any socials, you can connect with me personally or, you know, DBM. Deck Builder Marketers on any of the socials, Messenger, that type of thing. Check out the book if you want. Go to deckbuildermarketers.com/book. Lots of really good things in there. I think what I'm proud about with the book is that I'm not just telling them how to do it. I'm explaining a lot of the mindset behind it and thinking more long term.
So good. So good. April, thanks for sharing. Congratulations on your success. For those of you that watched, be sure to hit the like button, reach out and share some love for April for coming on and sharing her wisdom and insights with us today. And we'll see you on a future episode of the 7-Figure Agency Podcast. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.